America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. President Bush has landed safely on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln. The commander-in-chief was in the co-pilot seat of a Navy S-3B Viking plane as it landed aboard the aircraft carrier steaming off the coast of San Diego. The touchdown went smoothly with the plane hooking as planned onto a steel cable to bring it to a halt on the flight deck. Dressed in a Navy flight suit and beaming, the president emerged from the plane to salutes and the ringing of Navy bells. He then greeted and joked with a crowd of Navy officers and crew. Later this evening, the president will address the nation from the carrier and declare the end of the major combat phase of the war in Iraq. The televised national address is set for 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The latest Israeli incursion deep into one Gaza neighborhood has left a dozen Palestinians dead, including a two-year-old boy. Another 65 people are said to have been wounded. Hamas spokesperson Abdelaziz Rantisi was angry as he walked through the rubble in Gaza today.
We will continue fighting. We will retaliate. Israelis will be attacked everywhere, in every centimeter of Palestine. This is not the end of the battle. It's the beginning, and they will leave.
Witnesses say the Israeli tank and infantry raid was backed by helicopter gunships and had as its target the home of a Hamas member. The violence came just one day after Hamas joined with an armed offshoot of a Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat's Fatah faction in claiming responsibility for a suicide bombing in Tel Aviv that killed three people. The Palestinian Authority has since condemned the Israeli incursion as a crime it says was carried out in an effort to sidetrack the newly released roadmap to peace in the region. The roadmap calls for the creation of a Palestinian state by the year 2005.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
A bus carrying union members to a May Day rally in South Africa today has crashed, and authorities fear as many as 80 people may be dead. One survivor says he was terrified during the ordeal.
After a few seconds, I realized the bus is getting full of water. And then I broke open the window, and I shut off.
Police say that up to 90 people were on the bus, which landed in a reservoir after the driver got lost. So far, 10 people have been rescued, and 5 bodies have been found. In Germany, dozens of Berlin riot police have been injured in clashes with rock floors ahead of a planned May Day demonstrations.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Northwest Airlines' powerful pilots union says it's willing to talk to the company about cost reductions, but it wants something in return. Northwest is asking the union to absorb roughly half of the total $870 million it's looking to cut. Airline spokesman Kurt Cruz says there's no hurry.
Northwest's cash position is sufficient right now to deal with its current operations. We do believe that unless the economy improves, that Northwest will need some help with reduced costs in the future.
Northwest is also seeking concessions from its 3 other major unions. Officials at the company say they're looking forward to working with the unions to come to an agreement. The major markets turned in a mixed performance today. Gains in technology offsetting weaknesses in blue chips. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 25 points to 84.54. The NASDAQ was up 8 to 14.72. And the S&P 500 lost a point to 9.16. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we're saved by the losers.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. I'll tell you what, let's just start out with joining CNN. Bush is on the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier, and he is giving a speech in front of one of his favorite audiences, people who are captive and can't do anything but stand there and listen. Let's just join it live for a few minutes.
In Imperial Japan, Allied forces destroyed entire cities, while enemy leaders who started the conflict were safe until the final days. Military power was used to end a regime by breaking a nation. Today, we have the greater power to free a nation by breaking a dangerous and aggressive regime. With new tactics and precision weapons, we can achieve military objectives without directing violence against civilians. No device of man can remove the tragedy from war. Yet it is a great advance when the guilty have far more to fear from war than the innocent.
Okay, that's all. I can't stand it. I literally cannot stand the. Let me just say the program is produced tonight, as always, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. He's got me totally thrown off my rhythm now. The phone number here is 800-TALK, yes, 800-825-5937. And if you'd like to email during the program, Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. The big story today, of course, the networks would just not let up, would they? Huh? George W. Bush sitting in the co-pilot seat, flying onto the deck of the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln. Photo op to end all photo ops. What today was about was the 2004 presidential campaign, and Bush certainly got his pictures. The only thing that was more irritating than seeing George Bush get off that airplane in his flight suit, holding his flight helmet, the only thing worse were the reporters, now I don't know if where you watch it, I watch it on CNN, but the reporters using military terminology, just phrase after phrase after phrase, the military shorthand, the gushing comments of the CNN reporters and whoever was anchoring, it was just, there. Don't you feel better? The thing that came through the most is the realization of the militarization, the full militarization of this country and this government. The full militarization of this media. Boy, they can't get enough, can they? Huh? They just can't get enough. Give us war. Give us death. If you can't give us war, if you can't give us combat, give us aircraft carriers. Give us Bush winging in with another jet on his wing, a couple of passes over the aircraft carrier, woo, and then come in and land, hey, and the CNN anchors, did he get the third line, did he get the second line, did he get the first line, hey, blah, blah, blah. What kind of a landing was blah, 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 blah. Since it is a fait accompli, this country now, if you listen to Bush now, if you're listening to him now, that's all right with me, that's fine. The full militarization of this society has just about happened, hasn't it? I mean, here we are. Is there opposition? Is there any longer any opposition in this country, either from the political class or the media or the majority of Americans? Is there any? And I'm not saying that. Come on, don't send me emails. Oh, my lawyer sounding defeatist. It's an honest to God question. Is there any resistance? Or is it time to just sit back and enjoy it all? What the hell? You're not going to have to fly one of these aircraft. You're not going to have to pick up a weapon. Your children might, your grandchildren might, but, you know, you're safe. I'm safe. What the hell? Right? A couple thousand dead Iraqis. Look how many we killed in Germany and Japan and Poland and North Africa and blah, blah, blah. Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. So, you know, the Iraqis got off easy. The world got to see what this United States is all about. You mess with us, we will break your ass into a million pieces. Do you understand, world? That's where we are. Okay, if that's where we are, what are you going to do? Are you going to resist that? Am I going to resist that? What do you want to do? Huh? Shall we join hands and try to levitate the Pentagon? What should we do? Is it time to just sit back and enjoy it? Just one big-ass video game, isn't it? Is any of this stuff real? Is George Bush real? Are these speeches real? Was his flyby of the USS Lincoln real? Was his landing real? Look, we are the baddest bear in the woods now. That's what that's what the attack on Iraq, that was the third objective in the attack on Iraq, was to show the rest of the world, you mess with us, you are messing with disaster. We will go where we want. We will do what we want. We will impose what we want. Oh, you may start your little guerrilla attacks on us after we establish our presence, but we'll deal with that. We've got thousands of expendable Americans to throw into that. We will bomb your villages. We will attack your civilian population. We will break your ass into a million pieces. Now, that's what the message is. So my question is just simply, after watching this today, and every time I had something else to do, come back to the television, there's CNN doing it over and over and over again. You would think Christ had descended from the heavens. Here he comes, Jesus and his angels. Unbelievable. Then Bush strutting across the flight deck, hanging with the boys. Hey, all dressed up in his flight suit. Woo-ah-da-da-da-damn-damn. Just a bunch of combat vets telling war stories. Hey, Admiral. Hey, Captain. Hey, boys. How you doing? I'm George Bush. He couldn't put his flight helmet down. Couldn't do it. He was in his milieu. That's where George Bush belongs, right? He's a coward and a deserter, and he went AWOL. But by God, you give him the deck of an aircraft carrier and a few thousand captive U.S. sailors, and he'll put on a show that will just make your heart pound. God. How long's it been since George Bush wore a flight suit? He's a jet fighter pilot, isn't he? Huh? Since he left the Texas Air National Guard, hightailed his ass out of his unit and disappeared? Couldn't pass that drug test? Couldn't pass that alcohol test? What was it, huh? We don't talk about that in this country. We do not talk about the fact that we have a commander-in-chief who is, by definition, a deserter. But let him get on board one of those military jet aircraft. Let him put on that flight suit, Navy One. Hot damn, sucker! Here we go. I'm George Bush. I'm going to strut. I am going to walk so stiff my ass will squeak. Salute me. Let me salute you. Snap him off, bro. Yo! Who's next on the list? Whose ass are we going to kick next? Incredible. But here we are. So, why not kick back and enjoy it? It's all just a movie. All just a movie. Mike's calling from Roswell, Georgia. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Great show. So glad you're out there to help talk about what's going on.
Oh,
you're relating right to what my wife and I were talking about earlier. Was the you don't want the plane to fall out of the sky. You don't want anybody to get hurt or anything. But the best scenario would have been for him to walk out of the jet, salute the first naval officer standing there on the deck, which I used to be, and put his hand out, shake his hand, and they put the cuffs on him.
Oh, God, wouldn't that be a glorious moment?
Me. But and what you said earlier relates, too, because my wife and I were sitting here saying, I cannot listen to this man, and our conservative friends couldn't listen to Clinton.
Yeah.
As soon as he came on the TV, they turned it off.
Well, I'm understanding that now. I'm understanding that gut-level emotion. When I lived in Chicago for 4 years, God help me, I spent an awful lot of time with people who just hated the sight or the sound of Bill Clinton, and I couldn't get it. I couldn't relate to that gut level feeling that they had. I was at a party one time in our building, in our apartment building, and went downstairs to a party, and a woman at the party, I never met her before. She heard her husband and I having a discussion about Bill, and she leans into the conversation and she says, "I'll tell you about Bill Clinton. He's an effing liar." Now, this is a woman I never met. She uses the F word. And I'm just like, "Wow, honey, sit down. Take a chill pill." I could never understand that kind of visceral contempt and hatred for Bill Clinton. Boy, can I relate to it now.
Yeah, but you've got a man who's arguably a genius versus howdy doody.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I can only I understand the gut level emotion now. I'm not here to say by any means. I wasn't a big Clinton fan. I thought he did a good job as the best Republican president the United States ever have. Okay, we had 8 years and not a single U.S. service member was killed because of anything Clinton did. Yeah, a bunch of people in Yugoslavia died. Yeah, some people in Afghanistan died. But not a single U.S. military man or woman was killed as a direct result of Clinton engaging our forces where they shouldn't have been engaged. He did sit on top, and might not have been all Clinton's policies, but he did sit on top of the longest sustained prosperity this country's ever seen. Yada 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 yada. I still, there are a lot of things I didn't like about him, but I never have felt this kind of visceral contempt for a president of the United States. I didn't feel this way about Nixon, so I understand how now. I understand the emotion that people felt about Clinton. I'm not saying they had any justification for it. But, man, you talk about getting locked in. It's just unbelievable. Mike, we got a break. You want to hold on?
Sure.
Okay, let me put you on hold. We'll come back and finish up right after this quick break. And if you're on hold, stick around. We were going to take some of Bush Live, but I can't do it. I simply cannot do it. If you're listening on the Internet, listening on the radio, and you got this thug in the background talking, that's cool. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Is you.
there are over 70 million Americans who suffer from arthritis. But for arthritis pain relief, there's only one Aleve, the medicine more and more doctors are recommending for all-day relief of pain. Doctors know Aleve can stop tough pain all day with fewer pills than Tylenol. And Aleve works right at the site of arthritis to provide fast, effective relief. Get relief doctors recommend. Aleve, arthritis pain relief that's all day strong, all day long. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain. Comparisons based on minimum 24-hour label dosing.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How you doing? We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys have way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, I actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot confront a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
It's 24 past the hour. He's still on the deck of the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln. He's still talking, and we still are not going to take any more sound from this thug. But back to Mike in Roswell, Georgia. We were talking about this, the inability of your family to listen to him, Mike, and the inability of your conservative friends to listen to Bill Clinton.
Right, but before we get back to that, Mike, I want to kiss up a little bit. I want to tell your listeners
how fortunate we were in Atlanta to have you on regular AM broadcast radio for a period of time here in Atlanta.
Well, thanks,
and
Mike.
And attempt to tell the truth, all the way from interviews with RuPaul to...
we covered a lot of territory back then. Dateless and Desperate. We used to do a show about every fourth Friday. We would do a thing called Dateless and Desperate that was just a hoot. But we also did an awful lot of political stuff, the same stuff we're doing now, basically.
But now we're left with Kimmer and Neal. So.
Yeah, it's pretty bad on GST and WSB here in Atlanta. It's pretty
bad.
Hey,
are you going to hit any music this weekend?
We're thinking about going to Midtown, yeah. Midtown Music Fest, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, ought to be fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you called in.
Thanks. Been listening to for a while at night on the Internet, and it's a great move. And thanks a lot for all you do.
All right, Mike. Thanks for checking in, and hope to hear from you again, all right?
All right, you bet.
All right, sir. Take care. A little bit, when the program's over, as we do every night, we're going to post on MikeMalloy.com or MikeMalloy.net, go to the Daily Program Topics page, a lengthy article that appeared in From the Wilderness, written by Wayne Madsden, about this Bush Christian blood cult. I just want to quote one little quick couple of sentences here. It's down into the article. It says, Bush's bloodlust, his repeated commitment to Christian beliefs as he sees them, and his constant reference to evildoers in the eyes of many devout Catholic leaders bear all the hallmarks of the one warned about in the book of Revelations, the Antichrist. People close to the Pope claim that amid these concerns, Pope John Paul wishes he was younger and in better health to confront the possibility that Bush may represent the person prophesied in Revelation. John Paul II has always believed the world was on the precipice of the final confrontation between good and evil, as foretold in the New Testament. Before he became Pope, he said, quote, "We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has gone through. I do not think that wide circles of the American society or wide circles of the Christian community realize this fully. We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church of the gospel versus the anti-gospel." And he goes on and on and on. Now, this is a pope who grew up facing the evils of Hitler and Stalin. So you can make the argument he knows evil when he sees it. I'm going to post this article. You may want to read it. If you're not of the Catholic faith, obviously you are not going to buy into Catholic religious doctrine. But if you take a look at this as a social commentary from, among other people, the leader of the world's billion Catholics, and if you want to put a broad brush on it, leader of this planet's 2 billion Christians, or is it greater than that, Kathy? I'm sure it's more. But this idea that Bush, who truly, truly is in his most comfortable mode when he is discussing death and war and executions and dead bodies and corpses and victories and imperialism. And I don't mean imperialism in the old 60s lefty sense. Oh, we're American. I'm talking about real gut level. Will break your ass in a million pieces, U.S. military might imperialism. That's when Bush is his most natural, or when he's laughing at a condemned killer who is about to be executed. We got some problems, truth seekers. All right. Marge called in and said, do you think it's a coincidence that Bush's handlers picked today for the little photo op? The same day Enron executives are being indicted? Huh? Think about that for a second.
I'm all clean, I'm all spotless, I'm all pure like the snow, I'm all washed in the blood of the land.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
More disturbing evidence that rescue workers who spent time working in the rubble of the World Trade Center may face long-term serious health problems. A doctor who's performed full-body scans using sophisticated medical imaging equipment on some 250 New York City firefighters says nearly a third of them show signs of significant and permanent lung damage, which increases their risk of lung cancer. New York's Firefighters Union is now urging all firefighters to get the scans, but they are expensive and their health insurance doesn't cover the exam.
Twin marches of farm workers from across New York converged in Albany yesterday to demand changes to the state's labor laws. Richard Witt is director of Rural Migrant Ministries. He and others marched 330 miles to the state capitol to protest conditions faced by New York's mostly immigrant farm workers.
Farm workers are denied a day of rest, overtime pay, the right to bargain collectively, disability insurance, and a whole slew of other rights.
Witt says farm workers are backing a bill before the New York legislature that would provide a simple change to the state's labor law.
This omnibus bill would go through all of the labor law, and any time it excluded farm workers, it would remove that exclusion.
While some Republicans are backing the bill, Witt says the majority of legislators oppose such changes to New York's labor laws, though he hopes yesterday's rally helped to change that.
Leaders of major trade unions in Pakistan say they've uncovered a government plan to lay off 70,000 public sector workers in order to secure favorable loan terms from the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. The mass layoffs are expected to hit Pakistan's state-run rail system, power plants, and oil and gas companies. The Pakistani government won't comment on the allegations.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
It's a huge honor to be the greatest, to be the president of the greatest country in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a nice email during the break from Dan, who is writing from the mountains in northern New Mexico. Thanks for writing in, Dan. Your email is a little bit long to read on the air, but by God, I agree with everything you said. I don't know. Everything I had planned tonight is just, I guess, just going to get blown away for a while. This whole thing that occurred today with Bush, a 15, 20 minute flight out to the USS, carrier, USS Lincoln, landing on the carrier, right? And he almost missed the last, what do you call it? Cable, the last cable? What? I remember listening today to the CNN anchor people all talking military jargon, you know, military terminology. 10-4, whatever the hell it is. Oh, that's 5x5. Yeah, whatever. Listening to all that stuff and hearing one of the military experts, retired military pimps who now work for media on a consulting level, saying things like, well, now, you know, if, you know, there's cables 2, 3, and 4, you want to, you know, if you're a really good pilot, you'll pick up whatever the hell it was. I don't even remember. But apparently Bush caught the last cable. Bush's pilot caught the last cable. And there was a huge went up from, well, never mind.
So there was Bush today landing on the aircraft carrier. It's strictly a photo op. He came out to the carrier. This is getting ready for campaign 2004. There's Bush declaring the major combat operations in Iraq are over. Rumsfeld today declared the major combat operations in Afghanistan is over. So you see what the MO is here, right? The method of operating, right? The MO. The war's over. Terrorism has been defeated. This is 2004 photo op campaign stuff being filmed today. And as Marge suggested, maybe this was all planned today because it's the same day that another 10, 12 how many Enron executives were indicted. They still don't have old Kenny Boy yet, though, do they? Yeah, just a bunch of old combat vets telling war stories on the deck of the USS Lincoln today. Boy, I'll tell you what, just hopping around in that flight suit with that big crap-eating grin on his face, a deserter, somebody who is a disgrace to the military in this country, a disgrace. When it was his turn to serve, he hid and then deserted. He does everything he can to destroy veterans' benefits. Oh, my God, and there they are cheering this sucker. Deep breath. Oh, my God. Southside Carl is calling from Chicago.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Oh, I'm just in a snit, buddy.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what my wish was. I was hoping...
Be careful now.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give it to you. I was hoping that he would actually was going to believe the hype and call Dick Cheney up and say, well, look, Dick, the hell with a Navy aviator. Me and you going to hit the flight deck. And when they tried to hit the flight deck, they cracked up and we got our country back.
Right.
You know, I didn't like Ronald Reagan or George Bush, but I accepted them as president and everything. And to a degree, I could stand them. And, you know, you talk about this visceral feeling for Bush.
Yeah.
That we got now.
Yeah.
I told you before why I really took this attitude with him, and that was after September 11th.
Right.
And Karl Rove, well, talking about the war against terrorism and whatnot, and he stated to Republicans that, well, we're going to use this to get elected.
Right.
And this, that told me, and you know, I told you that this is why I see Bush as being immoral. And this whole thing now is like, you know, I know president, you know, being president, you have afforded opportunities with events and things like that, mm-hmm. you know, that's part of the statue of the office, you know, signing sure. bills in the Rose Garden, State of the Union addresses, even emergencies where you speak to the country and whatnot. These, you know, I can accept those things, but Bush is totally exploiting.
Oh, sure. That's...
And you know, and it's exploitation and the death of people is what is what's being exploited.
Have you heard this thug apologize yet for the deaths of Iraqi civilians?
Nope.
Oh, God.
You know, like the ones in the last couple of days. You know, I haven't heard anyone in the administration say, well, you know, we're sorry and it's unfortunate. And we're really sorry, you know, that this happened.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking to myself, why did I just say that? George Bush would not apologize for any death. George Bush is at the head of a pyramid of a cult of death. You know, that's what I've been saying for months, that this guy feasts on death and other people's deaths the way most of us eat dinner.
Well, tell me this.
God.
The media, you know...
Oh, don't even mention media. Don't mention the enablers.
They ran with the fact when Republicans said, well, Bill Clinton was wagging the dog.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but what else can you call this? This whole war was, I mean, there were various reasons, but one of them was, you know, was purely political. It was set up and staged at a time for November elections.
Yeah, we do not have an independent media in this country anymore. It was bad 5, 8, 9 years ago. Now it is an extension of the Bush crime family. Every single one of them are just utter pigs.
Well,
anybody who goes on television, commercial television, and gives this guy what Monica gave Bill Clinton, it's just further proof day after day after day of the fact that we do not have an independent media in this country. They are no longer the fifth or the fourth estate. They are not fulfilling their function to protect this democracy. And in fact, they are assisting in turning this country into a state of just pure militarized fascism. It's unbelievable, Carl.
Well, his father and Reagan, they weren't blatant in exploiting tragedies and whatnot. But, I mean, here, you know that, and this was reported about a week ago, and I'm still seeing reports, but no one is really, you know, putting the fire under anyone's feet about it. But they plan on using September 11th for the fundraising kickoff for the presidential election.
Well, sure. Yeah, we talked.
Raise money on the death of, you know, just. And it's not being couched in any way, and no one is saying, well, wait a minute, you know, 3,000, almost 3,000 people die, and you using this purely for, you know, politics.
Yeah.
And no one is, you know, has the nerve, not from my party at least, and not from the media and or editorials or anything like this, to just say, well, wait a minute, you know, something's wrong. You know, you can't use, you know, tragedy like this and the death of your own people, the death of other people, and just exploit it for your own, you know.
Well, he's doing it. He's doing it. Carl, let me move on. He is doing it, pal, and we do not have a media in this country who will call him on it, and we do not have a Democratic Party leadership who will, that will call him on it. It's up to our little voices in the night to try to keep it going, but it's disgusting. Carl, thanks.
All right, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah, the little voices in the night. Here, Robert is calling from Los Angeles. Hey, Robert.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
You are.
You know, let me just make like you're the teacher, and let me raise my hand here. Mr. Malloy?
Yes, Carl. Robert, I'm sorry. Yes, Robert.
What about the weapons of mass destruction?
Now, Robert, sit down. Just sit down. We don't ask questions like that in Bush's America.
Oh, okay, but what about the media, the free media, and what about the fact when Mr. Clinton was being criticized by those right-wing conservative people, they were not viewed as...
Robert, Bill Clinton brought shame to the Oval Office. Don't forget, Bill Clinton had a girlfriend, and I cannot even tell you what he was doing in there. It was awful. George Bush has brought dignity and respect back to the office of the presidency. As far as the media is concerned, Robert, thank God we have a media that tells the truth. Next question, Robert.
So that means I get an F? Yo, Mike, real quickly, I know you got a lot of the calls. You know, you mentioned the media participation in this total, in my opinion, this total vilification of the U.S. presidency and the total free democracy of television. Have you, by any chance, mentioned, because I haven't listened to you a couple of days, mentioned the fact that about the upcoming vote on the telecommunications bill?
We haven't talked about it, but it is going to go the way corporate media wants it to go because of Michael Powell, who chairs the FCC, who is in has in his hip pocket the media conglomerates, and because there are no Democrats in a leadership position who will struggle against this. So as bad as media is now, it is going to become worse.
It's going to get worse. It's going to the point where, you know, you might be in jeopardy. These other programs that do have a little bit of a progressive voice in the commercial media, they might be in jeopardy. So we just really need to stay on it. You have a good night, Mike.
All right, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you checking in, Robert. And it's not just talk radio that is going to be, let me change that. It's not just AM radio that's going to be affected by the further consolidation. It's also television, but it's also creativity on the part of songwriters, singers, producers, record companies. They are being sucked into this vortex. You will, by God, stay on topic. You will not express your creativity. You know, I think about how let me just say, in a very clear sense, the really creative stuff right now in terms of popular music is in the field of rap. Now, I know a lot of folks, a lot of white people and a lot of black folks just can't tune in, can't get their minds aligned with what's being done in rap music. But, you know, somebody said several months ago, where are the protest songs like we had back in the 60s and 70s? Well, the protest songs are out there. They're just not being written right now, with the exception of Springsteen, perhaps. They're not being written, nor are they being performed by white entertainers. They're being performed by the rap artists. Cat Stevens, but, you know, Cat Stevens, you know, I'm talking about current new stuff, and it's being done by these young black men, these young black women who, and rap has gotten such a bad name outside of the music because, you know, the gangsta stuff and the killings and the shootings and yada, yada, yada. These artists, these young black people that are doing the cutting edge stuff right now. And again, I understand a lot of white folks, it took me about 5 years to get to the point where I could listen and understand and appreciate some of this music. I'm locked into my whiteness, okay? So it's still a chore sometimes but once you focus down and listen to what these young artists are saying, wow, that is going to end. Do you think that with the further consolidation of media in this country and the lockdown on production companies, on the lockdown on record companies and venues and where these people can perform and who's going to play their music, do you think these young black artists are going to continue to have outlets for their music? That's right. No. So there's more to this further consolidation than shutting off of voices in media, the shutting off. Damn, it's hard to talk tonight. The shutting off includes some of the creativity. That's what I'm trying to say. It's just homogenize everything, turn it into just chump music, chump talk, unless it's right wing. What I just said was not very articulate, and I understand that. I was doing fine today until CNN started covering, and every television network on the planet in America covering this deck of this aircraft carrier. By the way, happy May Day. It's who sent it? Barry Crimmins wrote, "It's nice of court-appointed President Bush to help so many workers of the world celebrate the holiday by uniting at the unemployment office." It is May Day, isn't it? Okay, but enough from me. Jerry is calling from West Branch, Michigan. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Haven't talked to you for a while.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Well, it's not the time. Actually, these are great hours for me because then I'll listen to Bernie Ward afterwards if I'm still awake on the nights I'm off. But just two quick points here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, about Cord, and I wanted to be good and watch Mr. Bush tonight. I really wanted to. So I was flipping channels. History Channel had a documentary of Hitler on tonight. They were talking about how Hitler duped the German people into war.
Right.
Then I flipped the channel to CNN. I got to clarify this. I stopped at MSNBC, and Chris Matthews was continuing his orgasmic response to Bush this afternoon.
So you didn't realize you had changed the channels. It was just the same story.
Then
different.
Then I flipped to CNN.
Yeah, different players, same story.
Then I saw that view, which it's like from a warped parallel universe, a shadow image of the gathering on the battleship Missouri.
Yeah, wasn't
that? I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I watched and listened, and I made it as far as when he started alluding to Normandy, Iwo Jima, and FDR, and that was it. It was I'm going to go listen to Malloy.
Thank God I missed that part, because at that point, you know, I've threatened to smash both
television receivers in this studio, and have always been able to restrain myself. But had I heard that, that's sort of like Henry Hyde and the rest of these thugs when they were trying to impeach Bill Clinton for having little oral sex in the Oval Office, also making references to Normandy and Iwo Jima and God and oh man, I'm glad I missed it.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't miss it, because you know that's like an insult to my dad who was in Normandy, an insult to my uncle who died of wounds at Iwo Jima, and you know, and right now, terrified as to what's going to happen to the New Deal legacy programs like Social Security, I'm ready to volunteer to be on Homeland Security's list.
I hear that loud and clear. Thanks, Jerry.
All right.
All right, sir.
I just wanted to throw that in there, Mike.
Thank you. I'm glad you did.
All right.
All right, sir. Take care.
I'm just saying, who's benefiting the most from this mayhem? The Constitution lays bloody in the devil's den, while fragments of freedom are being tossed in the wind. Genocide continues to be an American trend. Let me live how I want.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, you have a new choice. Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, your back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ouch!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Ah!
So you can bend, dig, plant, water, water, and water all you want. No problem. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
She is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
5 before the hour, got an email from a disabled American veteran, Pensacola, Al. Dear Mike, I was on the USS Enterprise for a West Pacific cruise during the Iran problem back in 1988. The reason dumbass is getting cheers is because the sailors are hyped. They've got to do something besides hump chains and chocks all day for routine flight operations. They've got to earn medals and accommodations, possibly even promotions. Please don't be surprised that the sailors are giving cheers. These guys are thinking they'll be going home soon, and they're cheering for the thought of an early return. Only the brainwashed sailors are really cheering this goon. The rest are merely going through the motions. I was there, and after going through all of the excitement of conflict, it was easy to cheer when our pilots returned, because we weren't being shot at or attacked out in the Indian Ocean. I'm sure that reenlistment numbers will drop considerably, and retirement numbers will increase. Thanks, Al. Appreciate you writing in. Robin is calling from West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mike. You got room for two out on that ledge tonight? I got my climbing shoes on.
Yeah, I understand.
I just wanted to share a little observation with you. My dad's a World War II vet, and he was on an aircraft carrier in the South Pacific. And we were watching Monkey in a Man Suit today, and he just looked at me and shook his head and said, you know, I saw good, valiant young men put their planes into the stern to protect the rest of the ship. And he screams at the TV like Archie Bunker every time he Bush shakes a veteran's hand and says he doesn't deserve to carry their dirty socks.
I know. At least Clinton was honest about his resistance to his involvement in the U.S. military at a time when we were involved in what Clinton saw, and I have to assume he saw it from a moral standpoint. I am not going to judge whether or not Clinton was chicken or yellow or just afraid. I think it's very clear that Bush was, is, and always will be. But at least Clinton made the effort, and when the effort did not work any longer, he was included in the lottery that was occurring after 1966.
Right.
And it just so happened his number didn't come up. And for that, he's been tagged. Clinton was tagged as a draft dodger. He was a draft evader like millions of us were back
in the... Oh, you mean
like Cheney? Yeah, right. But here is George W. Bush, who got himself into an Air National Guard unit just to keep his possible political record clean. And for that, I would think that any veteran would just loathe this punk. Hey, listen, let me put you on hold. I'll come back in a moment, Robin. We have to break here. And if you're on hold and your name's not Robin, stay with us. We're going to take your calls. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Israel is interfering with the roadmap for peace with the Palestinians. That's the opinion of the Secretary General of the United Nations today. Kofi Annan accused Israel of undermining a new Middle East peace effort by raiding a neighborhood in Gaza City and killing at least 12 Palestinians. The chief spokesman for the UN said Annan believes the incursions contradict the drive of the international community to restart the peace process between Israelis and Palestinians. Annan was also quoted as saying Israel should work with Mahmoud Abbas, the new Palestinian prime minister, to make the plan for the peace a success. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney could get an eyeful and an earful this afternoon as he tours parts of the Cape Cod shoreline blackened by an oil spill. A major slug of oil came ashore overnight. Coast Guard Petty Officer Linda O'Brien says additional teams are going out to clean up the oil.
The Unified Command plans to increase the shoreline work crews by 30%. That would bring the total to 213 shoreline work crews.
O'Brien says 2,000 gallons of oil have been collected from the waters off Cape Cod. 18 miles of shoreline have been polluted, and Buzzards Bay is closed to shell fishing. One town official in Fairhaven says teams are finding more dead and oil-slicked waterfowl.
Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, brought to you by Geico Auto Insurance.
Look how small Joey is, isn't she petite?
Well, Beth is even littler than us.
Look how little Meg is. You can almost say she's tiny.
How is Geico able to offer 24-hour service and still save us money?
Perhaps it's because we are all so small.
We are small, aren't we?
Yeah. Round-the-clock service 7 days a week, and you could save 15% on car insurance. Call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
One person is dead and several others injured after a grenade carried by a reporter as a souvenir exploded at Amman Airport in Jordan. Sources say the grenade went off when airport security opened the suitcase of a Japanese journalist near a luggage screening machine. The reporter was traveling through Amman on the way to Tokyo. He was slightly hurt, and three other people who were nearby were also injured. New York City Mayor Bloomberg lashed out today at Department of Transportation work crew that was caught napping on the job. Today's front page story in the Daily News followed around truck 140D earlier this week and reported the four workers filled potholes for a total of 2 hours. They've been suspended without pay for a month, and the mayor agrees with the action taken by the DOT Commissioner Iris Weinshall.
Those are not people that we want working for the city. The taxpayers in this city have a right to expect people that work for the city to do a full day's work.
The report claims the workers ate three times during their shift, went shopping for clothes, and two of the workers even went home. Bloomberg says the workers could not be fired on the spot because of legal issues involved, but the city is moving to fire them. Because of the worst winter weather in years, city roads this spring have been left with thousands of potholes.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Delta Airlines Pilots Union is taking a non-committal stance regarding the company's request for them to take a 22% pay cut. Delta, which lost $1.3 billion last year, also wants its pilots to forgo pay raises set for this year and 2004.
So effectively, it would be a 31% pay cut. So, of course, it is substantial in nature.
That's Delta Pilots Union spokesman Captain Mike Pino, who says when pilots meet in San Diego next Monday, they will review Delta's request. The union also is wrapping up a financial analysis of the airline. Delta's pilots are the highest paid in the industry, and management has said concessions from pilots are needed for the carrier to remain solvent. A mixed day on Wall Street as weakness in blue chips was offset with gains in technology. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 25 points to 84.54. The NASDAQ was up 8 points to 14.72, and the S&P 500 was down less than a point to 9.16. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, you people are hot tonight, aren't you? I must have gotten 40 emails during that little five-minute break. Robin, I'm coming right back to you. Just hang with me just a second. From Jeanette in Bloomington. Hi, Mike. John Mellencamp. She's referring to one white exception, because I was talking about rap music and protest music. One white exception is John Mellencamp. He has a great anti-war song. I think I've heard you play it. Someone I know here at Indiana University has been working with him. They made a video for the song to Washington, but Viacom won't play it. It's an all-American song. That's from Jeanette. From Brother Jeff in Santa Fe. Mike, some of the rap is indeed the political music that you speak of. That music must be listened to. But some rap is just a glorification of the very values that are espoused by the money powers that be in our new America. When money and misogyny are the mainstays of many of the rap videos, the message sometimes gets lost. My 11-year-old son has turned us on to some great stuff, and I love the fact that at least someone has the kahunas to sing the truth. Interesting that it is usually the ones who come from the least that have the fortitude to speak the truth. Power indeed to the people who make this country work. No, I mean really work. From Brother Jeff. And from Diane at DM Funk Films. Mike, in Leni Riefenstahl's documentary about Adolf Hitler, Triumph of the Will, the first time you see Hitler, he is coming out of the clouds in his touring aircraft, while the massed throngs are eagerly awaiting his arrival below in Nuremberg. For some reason, the imagery occurred to me this afternoon while Bush approached the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln. I cannot chalk such things off to some coincidence that exists only in my mind. The people crafting Hitler's PR image were deliberate in their choices, as are those around George Bush. Many have been casually comparing Bush to the Nazi leader in both words and art, drawing the easy comparisons to the Third Reich to make political points, to remind us of the darker places his presidency has and will take us. But after today, the comparisons are not just of our imagination. The event we witnessed was worthy of Reifenstahl and Albert Speer. It is true. They do not care if we get it. They do not care if we know. How far are we from our military taking a personal oath to our great leader, George W. Bush? Gee whiz, Mike, John Lennon was right. There are Nazis in the bathroom just below the stairs. Take care, Diane. Back to Robin in West Virginia. Robin, thank you for your indulgence, sir. I just wanted to get those.
Oh, that's okay. Aren't you glad John Lennon's not around to see this?
Oh, my God. They would have had him. He would have had some sort of a private plane crash or something in his orange juice. Would have put a stop to that very quickly.
You know, I wish I'd... last night, you were hard up for listeners, and...
Well, no, just callers.
Oh, yeah, sorry. yeah, because I was listening.
Yeah, well, so some nights, you know how it goes.
I wish some of these things had struck me then, because I don't want to take up other callers' time, but, you know, I like to be the history and literature geek.
Uh-huh.
And you were talking earlier about whether or not, you know, we should just all put our feet up and open our orange crushes and enjoy it. Now that the war's over and everybody's happy. And I remembered that line from Hamlet, where he was telling the players how to do the show. And he referred to the groundlings who, for the most part, are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
I thought that was from Midsummer Night's Dream, the rustics who put on the play within the play. That shows you how much I know. No, you're right. I'm sure you're right.
Was this war anything but that?
I don't think so.
I mean, those grainy pictures from the video phone hanging outside of the Humvee as they rumbled through the desert.
I know. And the Bush administration, key leaders in the Bush administration, both inside and outside the Bush administration, but the ones who influence and dictate policy have made it very clear that they see young men, for the most part, who serve in the U.S. military as nothing but expendable. They couldn't care less. From Henry Kissinger to Donald Rumsfeld to Pearl to Cheney, up to and including George Bush, regardless of his smarmy, oh, hi, guys, I'm glad you went and killed a bunch of Iraqis. Here I am to shake your hand. These people don't care about the U.S. military whatsoever. Not a bit.
And the media is right in line. The lady that wrote about Leni Riefenstahl is dead on. Earlier today, one of those dewy young... darling anchor girls was absolutely getting verklempt when they showed an old black and white photo of Bushy sitting in his air what I suppose was his aircraft. It could have been something outside of a Kmart. I don't know.
Yeah.
with his monkey face on, he looked even more chimp like.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give you a couple of little bits one little bit of good news.
Okay.
Before I go.
Okay.
And that is Bush will not be on. This is too good to be true. He will not be on the GOP primary ballot in West Virginia.
Or Alabama.
Yeah.
I had this story last week. He's not going to be... I saw something cross the wire today that there are several states where he won't be on the primary ballot. I don't understand that.
Well, you know, how typical that the Pueller doesn't need to run.
Oh, I see. right. Oh, God. How could I have missed that? Yeah, that's very true.
But more than anything else, I mean, I hadn't heard about Alabama, but I figured that his people actually didn't fail to file. I think they probably tried to file in Richmond.
That could very well be.
Yeah, because when you're in West Virginia, everybody you meet says, you know, I've got an aunt in Roanoke.
right, but that's Virginia.
Right.
Robin, thanks for checking in.
Have a great one, Mike.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Who's next in the barrel here? Clint is calling from Dearborn, Michigan. Hey, Clint.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Yeah, I luckily did not watch CNN, and I'm glad I didn't after what you said about this war hero, because you know, I had to grab my airline sickness bag after that.
Yeah, I was just dumbstruck by what CNN did today. I'm sure the other networks did the same thing. I'm sure they had their cameras out there on the USS Abraham Lincoln. But I just watched CNN, and it was vile. It was disgusting. It was unbelievable. And what made it even worse was the voiceover of all these. They had three or four correspondents and an anchor back in Atlanta. And listening to these people using military jargon, using military terminology, as though these television peoples were part of the Volkskorps or something. I don't know. At this point, Clint, we've lost it. Now we can get it back, but at this point, we've lost it, pal.
Yeah, I kind of agree, and we got a big fight coming for us. You know, I'm just finishing up reading Shrub, and boy, seeing what he's doing now, just you know, it just reiterates all this stuff, and it really makes me furious. So I'm ready to throw something through my television also.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm hoping, and this is really sick. I should be ashamed for saying this, but the Republican convention is going to be held in a little over a year in New York City. No, not in a little over a year. What am I talking about? When is it, Kathy?
It'll be September 11th of that year.
Is this the year that they hold the conventions?
No, 2004.
They hold the conventions in 2004, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, if I'm not screwing up here, the election is November 2004, but the Democrat or the Republican convention, you sure it's not 2003? You sure it's not this year?
No, just before the election.
Okay, all right. Well, the Republicans are going to hold their convention in New York City, and Bush has timed it so that he can skate from the convention, where he will be renominated by acclamation very quickly, first ballot, no question. Then he'll skate over to stand again on the memory of 3,000 dead individuals at the World Trade Center site. I will guarantee you where I will be, whether I'm in radio or not. When that Republican convention is held, I'm going to be in New York City, and here's the evil part. Here's the part that I'm embarrassed about. I would like to see a repeat, only more so, of what happened in Chicago in 1968. Now, I should be spanked and sent to bed with no cocoa for saying that. But how else are we supposed to make the point? If 2 or 3 million people show up in that city and absolutely not go peacefully into Bush 2, then maybe somebody will take note in this crappy media we have, and maybe that will be the trigger to get these people out of office. But I'll guarantee you where I'm going to be during the Republican convention, and it's going to be in New York City.
Yeah,
I don't know what else to do, Clint. I'm not, regardless of how whacked out I sound on this program sometimes, I'm not a violent man. Regardless of all this talk about, well, I've got guns and weapons, regardless of all this talk that I put out there, I am essentially a peace-loving individual who loves sitting on my back porch watching birds come to my bird feeder. You know, I mean, I love to do that in the morning, drink a cup of coffee, read the New York Times, and watch the cardinals and the sparrows and the thrushes come to my bird feeder.
And get those varmints, too.
Well, shoot a few varmints, too. But this guy has pushed me, this administration, truly has pushed every single button I've got. And I know where I'm going to be during the Republican convention.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. We've got to stand up and get rid of this, because we can't, you know, America can't handle this anymore. It's just, you know, we got to wake this country up and move on.
Yeah, that's the hope. That's a hope. Clint, thanks for checking.
Oh, isn't Michael Moore going to be coming out with his new book about that time also?
Oh, is he writing another one? I hadn't heard. I honestly have not heard.
I heard that.
Great.
He is doing something about the 9/11 thing.
Oh, okay.
A movie, I think it is.
Well, either way, I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy the way Michael Moore expresses his frustration.
Yeah. Well, take care of those varmints.
All right. Thanks, Clint.
Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Pete's calling from Manhattan. Midtown Manhattan or Upper West Side? Upper East Side? Where are you calling from,
Upper
Pete?
Upper West Side.
Upper West Side.
And let me just say, when you come down to New York, you got a place to crash.
Well, thanks.
I'll be there protesting, too.
Yeah. God, isn't it? I mean, it is kind of a sad commentary that we have to talk this way, that the political system has gotten so corrupt, that we talk about disrupting a national party's convention. Hey, let me put you on hold, Pete. I'll come right back to you as soon as we take a break here. It is a sad commentary. Maybe it's just a sad commentary on us who say these things, or is it a sad commentary on what has happened in this country? Oh, well, stick around. Quick break. We'll be right back.
So a new man in the White House with a familiar name said he had some fresh ideas, but Bush now sets the game from Texas to Washington. And he wants to fight with many, and he says it's not for oil. He sent out the National Guard to police the rule.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four!
Yeah, too bad.
Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com. We'll personally match you with a LendingTree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Free, 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 free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee.
Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days. Days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, Doug.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number here. Back to Pete in on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
So I just had a question, Mike. I wanted to get an observation from you because I really respect your perspective on this. I've noticed a bit of a change. After September 11th, there was always a sense that, okay, you're seeing little signs of a dictatorship here, but it would be all coy about it, this gang of thugs.
Right.
Really, you know, wink, wink, it's not really what you think you're seeing. It just seems lately, and correct me if I'm wrong, so now it's like, look, we're going to take a page out of Hitler's playbook, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we don't care if you realize it, and we're just going to do it. I mean, do you see that change? It's just something I'm seeing.
No, I think you're right. And I think that email I read from Diane.
Right, I think that was
right. She was making exactly the same point. It doesn't matter anymore what the American public thinks. With the poll numbers showing Bush having the support, I don't care if the poll numbers are right or wrong. It's what this is the most poll conscious administration ever in this country. I believe they know what they're doing where it concerns the polls. By declaring the Iraq conflict over as far as major military operations, by declaring for God's sake, the Afghanistan conflict over as far as major military operations are concerned. This is what the peaceniks used to say back in the late 60s, early 70s. Why not just declare victory in Vietnam and bug out?
Right.
But what the Bush crime family is doing at this point, I think, is although you and I and people listening to this program pick up on the heart of what they're doing, we are missing, I think, the totality of what they're doing around the edges. And it's what they're doing around the edges. You know how I feel? I feel sometimes like I exist now in a place where all of a sudden there's a huge, almost invisible, very thin drift net that has been dropped around my little sphere, whether it's my home, my work, my walks in the country, whatever I'm doing. I seem to feel this net, like the professional fishermen use, the drift net. And I feel this thing, and it's almost invisible. You can't really see it, but I feel this damn thing. And it's like, it's like it's getting harder to breathe, like it's getting a little bit harder to move, and it's waiting for that net to tighten. It's what happens to porpoises when they use those drift nets to catch tuna, and they wind up with porpoises, mammals that then suffocate and drown.
That's a great analogy.
I just swear to God, it occurred to me the other day. It's like something that's almost invisible that is slowly drifting my way. I'm drifting into it, and eventually I'm not going to be able to move.
I mean, I'm in my late 30s. I lived through Reagan and Bush 1. This really does feel different. Honestly,
it does.
What happened today, I saw CNN as well, and watching those media, if I can say this word, they're called among some people prestitutes.
Sure, you can
I've
say
heard that recently.
You can say about anything you want on this program, as long as it's not what's his name, seven words you can't say on radio.
Yeah, exactly. I'll stay away from those. But
right.
to watch these guys just really orgasmic is the word. Just,
oh my God.
I've never seen a display like that. Honestly.
The breathless.
I watch them often just to see what's going on.
That breathy, breathless. I couldn't see any of their faces. All I could hear was a voiceover. The female reporter, the three male reporters, the anchor guy back at CNN. And like I said, it's like they were waiting for the arrival of the Messiah or the re-arrival, depending on, you know, what your point of view is
exactly.
As far as religion. And that's exactly the impression I got. It's like this can't be real. I'm not seeing this. We haven't gone that far through the looking glass. And of course, the image stays there. CNN did not go away and report on news hour after hour. And then after he landed and after he huggy-faced the troops, then they kept replaying the videotape. And it's like, Jesus Christ, what is going on? Where are we?
It was a bootlicking fest, which I've never seen. Look, I don't want to hog other people's airtime, but I really appreciate that. And just today definitely was one step further that this country's going down.
I know. Pete, thanks for checking in. Don't be a stranger.
No problem.
All right, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, another quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm just depressed and I'm sad for some, but I'm mad at the rest. We're taking lives without thinking for it. It's not bad enough now. I know they got to make it worse.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Use as directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
People are trying to stop the spread of insects and disease without stopping international trade. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Wooden pallets are used in shipping to move freight around the world. These wooden platforms are important for trade, but they often carry more than their intended cargo. Beetles, worms, fungus, and bacteria are just some of the organisms that ride around on pallets. In one case, researchers examined a single pallet and discovered nearly 30 different kinds of insects. Carrie Britton is a forest pathologist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She says the wood that's used for pallets often comes from trees that already had been weakened by insects or disease.
There's probably billions of pallets that move around each year with very inferior wood. And sometimes the reason those trees died too young to become anything but a pallet is because they had insects or diseases.
Imported diseases and pests have caused serious economic and environmental damage around the world. Britton says people are looking for ways to fight this problem.
The regulatory community all over the world realize that this is a major problem, and they're working on trying to develop regulations and ways of requiring that the wood be treated either with heat or fumigants like methyl bromide.
Britton says modern transportation helps foreign organisms survive the trip between continents.
They can travel across the ocean. We have such rapid transit now that they arrive still alive, and they just crawl out and look for a new home.
Pallets are not the only problem. Invasive species sometimes travel in wood chips and other wood that's used for packing material. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're going to have an Uncle Mike story hour a little bit later in the program. Barry, who listens in Texas, pointed out an article posted yesterday at Common Dreams, written by Robert Jensen, who is a, I think he's a professor at, professor of journalism, University of Texas at Austin, and an author. And I just want to share it with you, and we'll just incorporate it into one of Uncle Mike's story hours coming up here in just a couple of minutes, all right? All right. Rick is calling from Colorado Springs. Rick, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Rick.
Thanks for taking my call.
You don't have to say that. Thank you for calling.
All right. I guess you got a lot of extra listeners tonight.
A lot of extra callers. I think the listening audience is usually fairly consistent. It just, you know, some nights people feel like calling in, some nights they don't. Tonight.
Well, I think today is inspiring a lot of people to pick up the phone or contact somebody. Personally, I'm hovering somewhere between heartbreak and nausea.
That's a hell of a place to hover.
Oh, man. I went around my TV dial today, and every station was playing Top Gun.
Yeah, yeah, weren't they? Huh?
You mentioned earlier you didn't know of so many protest songs. I wanted to ask you if you were aware of a terrific album from Steve Earle called Jerusalem.
I am not.
Oh, man.
I know who Steve Earle is.
Right. Fabulous album. It is really good in an artistic standpoint.
Uh-huh.
It's produced terrifically. He does a great job on it. And
what's the title again?
It's called Jerusalem. It came out last September, so just before the war started.
Okay.
Some of the song titles are like America Version 6, Conspiracy Theory, John Walker's Blues, The Truth.
Oh.
And there's a fabulous tune. The title song, Jerusalem, is really a good song.
Well, as a matter of fact, my producer is saying in my headphones, somebody sent us a bunch of cuts, and we do play some of it sometimes. That's what Kathy is saying right now. Yeah, okay,
but
cool.
It's a real ray of hope.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I just wanted to point that out to you and your listeners, and I'm also a Steve Earle fan for many years.
Jerusalem is the name
Jerusalem of the album.
Jerusalem is the album.
Okay. Steve Earle is the artist.
Okay.
And there are people out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, and probably what I'm relating to is the fact that you don't, first of all, on FM radio, commercial FM radio, you just don't hear you don't hear any of that stuff.
This is something that, you know, they don't play this, and it may be somehow related to like what happened to the Poetry Club in New Mexico. You know, you do speak up, and somebody knocks you down.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the America that I grew up in.
I know. It's the America we live in now, though.
I know, and I just can't believe it's taking place. I feel like I'm on some kind of a bad trip, I guess.
Yeah. I hear you, Rick.
Well, thanks. I wanted to point that out about the album. Play a couple cuts if you can.
We'll do it tonight.
All right, great.
If Kathy can track him down, we'll do it tonight. Thank you, Rick.
All right, keep
it up. All right, sir. Take care. Do we have Uncle Mike's story corner music that... that we can, because I want to share this with you. Like I said, Barry in Texas sent me the link to the story. I'll post the link when the program's over. And again, if you want a link to what we talk about in this program, go to MikeMalloy.com when the program's over. Give us about 45 minutes to put everything up there and click on the daily program topics page. And we're just about finished with this crappy website that I have. We have a new website coming online soon, within days, I hope, and put together by just an excellent web production company that is going to make the website a lot better than what it's been. But in the meantime, go to the links page and scroll down to whatever day, for example, Thursday. We'll have this up. It's called Fighting Alienation in the USA. Can we have some Story Corner music here? Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Oh, my God. Doesn't that flip you back to just an easier time, huh? And I don't mean your childhood. I just mean... Robert Jensen, journalism professor, University of Texas at Austin, he writes, I have lived in the United States all my life, and for personal and political reasons, I expect to live out my life here. It is my home. But after the U.S. attack on Iraq, I feel more alienated from my homeland than ever before. Judging from my mail and conversations I have had around the country, many anti-war activists feel the same. This is a serious problem, not just personally for individuals, but for the movement. For those of us trying to oppose the U.S. empire, our primary task is organizing people in the United States to resist these imperial policies. That will be difficult if we feel increasingly alienated and become more isolated from, quote, ordinary, close quote, Americans. But that's exactly how I feel, alienated and isolated, and I see no reason to pretend otherwise. Since September 11th, the number of people in my daily life with whom I can talk honestly has dwindled to a handful. I have been less interested in attending routine social gatherings outside of my political circle. I have found myself more frequently communicating over email with like-minded people in other cities rather than chatting with colleagues in the hallway. Instead of looking for ways to expand my social circle, I have let it contract. None of this is because I'm inherently antisocial. It's a distinct change since September 11th. I have not been doing any of these things consciously, but instead have been drifting away from ways I used to interact with others because it has become more and more difficult to fit into these so-called normal situations. I have struggled much of my adult life with the realization that my values were at odds with most of the people around me, but after September 11th, those awkward gaps began to feel like unbridgeable gulfs. This is not just because of the celebratory reaction to the recent wars by so many Americans. While it can be difficult to be around people who crow about how the United States kicked butt in Iraq, in some ways those interactions are simple. I know how to respond. I have a set of questions I ask to try to get people with that view to reconsider some of their assumptions and to consider the effects of this victory on people in other places. I can make an argument about the real reasons behind the war. I can point out the lies of the Bush administration. Unless people start screaming, it's surprisingly easy to have that kind of discussion in many, though certainly not all, in many cases. My real difficulty, and the main cause of my increasing sense of isolation, comes in dealing with people who seem detached, who don't react at all. There are a lot of people around me, I work at a large university, who seem to be doing their best to avoid the questions of war and empire. In a small number of cases, this may stem from some fundamental immorality, truly not caring. But my sense is that many of the people who are trying to avoid the question have some sort of anti-war leanings. They know there's something wrong with the way the United States has gone forward in the world since September 11th. And, if not against the wars, they are at least skeptical. But they seem to be walking through life with eyes closed, purposefully. These are the people I have the most trouble interacting with. When I raise the issue of war, they sometimes attempt to divert the conversation toward less contentious subjects. More often, people are willing to let me talk but refuse to engage, or sometimes refuse to even acknowledge what I'm saying. There have been times I literally wanted to grab people and shout, "You don't know these wars are wrong? You know these policies are crazy? Why won't you help do something about it? Why won't you at least admit to me that you know?" Well, I don't want to generalize too broadly from my life. I have a sense this experience of mine is not idiosyncratic. And it is crucial to come to terms with, especially at this point in the movement. Like thousands of others around the country, for the past 2 years, I have put more time and energy into political work than ever before in my life. And because I have been spending so much time organizing, writing, and speaking, I have taken it for granted that I was doing all I could do. Because I've been working more than ever on a variety of political projects, it didn't occur to me until recently to evaluate how my alienation was affecting the prospects for that political activity. Sometimes this problem gets reduced to the charge that middle-class activists simply are elitists who don't know how to interact with so-called real people. That may be true in some cases, but it strikes me as a gross oversimplification and a way to avoid difficult questions. The alienation I'm talking about is not so much around class or the politics of lifestyle choices, but about whether one is willing to confront the American ideology in public. Some of my most frustrating experiences have been with other middle-class people. The alienation I have felt comes from living in a country in which one segment of the population is drunk on triumphalism and another is hiding from the pressing issues. And these are people from all classes in each of those categories. In such an environment, anti-war activists need to come together often, not just for political organizing, but for support. We need to engage in internal discussions to sharpen our analysis and rethink strategy. But at the same time, I think we need to be careful not to withdraw too much from those other spaces in our lives, even if they feel alien or alienating to us. Whether or not we are actively organizing in those spaces at the moment, it's important to stay rooted in the larger communities in which we live. The struggle against the U.S. empire will be a long one, and we need to be connected to the people who we are trying to organize. I recommend this, fully aware that my own instinct is to want to withdraw into spaces that feel safe. In politics, it often is most effective to follow our gut. But there are also times when it's important to overcome some instincts. And I think this is one of those times. Well, Robert Jensen is a journalism professor at the University of Texas at Austin. He's a member of the No War Collective and author of Writing Dissent, Taking Radical Ideas from the Margins to the Mainstream. Well, that was certainly uplifting, wasn't it? I know exactly what Jensen is talking about without being able to articulate it in the manner in which he made the articulation. How's that for a carefully thought out sentence? That's yes, the contracting social circles. I think I've even said it on this program. I know a lot of people who have called this program or emailed this program have said the same thing. It's getting harder and harder to talk to business colleagues. Oh, Jesus, in this business, in talk radio, there is nobody there. Well, who in the hell am I going to talk to in terms of talk? Well, there's Peter Werby. I call Peter frequently in Detroit. He will call me frequently here in Atlanta. And we will have, used to be midnight conversations, but now it's like before he goes on the air, 11 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, and we have these oh, Jesus talks. You know what I'm saying? But beyond colleagues in this radio business, you know, I've felt myself, I'm sure you have, exactly what Jensen is writing about. This kind of blank stare, the refusal to engage by so many of the people in our various social circles, the refusal to engage in this discussion. I dare not bring it up, and I have friends who friends I've had for 25 years. But whose politics are just, well, maybe they have become apolitical, as so many of them have. I have to be honest. So many of the ardent liberals, not left-wingers, although I've got a few of those too, ardent liberals, ardent left-wingers have given it up. They kind of kick back now with a kind of a condescending attitude towards me. Okay, come on, Malloy. Jesus, when are you going to get off this? You know, how much time you got left on the planet, pal? You better take a breath, take a break, smell the roses, forget about it. You've had that happen too, haven't you? I know you have. I know you have. Chris is calling from Westbrook, Connecticut. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
It is so great to hear a voice of reason in all this madness.
reason tinged heavily with frustration.
I went out tonight to deliberately miss the Nazi love fest going on after seeing the promos for it all day long.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, just the absurdity of this whole thing and to just to heap something on it. One of the local stations around here, I was kind of channel surfing between talk radio this afternoon, all conservative all the time, of course.
Sure.
And I got this one station in Long Island that was having a rally at the Dixie Chicks Theater.
Yeah, well, there's
the protest.
Yeah, there's one planned in Greenville, South Carolina, where they're kicking off their tour. I think this weekend that I'm going to mention a little bit later in the program. So you've got it up there too against the Dixie Chicks.
Oh,
I mean, Jesus!
They were coming on the. It was the craziest thing I ever heard. They're going, come on down to the Beacon Theater, and we've got T-shirts for you, and we're selling flags. And
What do you want to bet? It's a Clear Channel radio station.
I know it is.
Yeah, of
I know
course.
It is. In fact, I called them, and they've got this new thing now where they start every hour of music with some kind of patriotic song.
Oh, my God.
So I called them up and asked them if they play the Fish cheer, and I feel like I'm fixing to die rag, which is 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for? Don't
right.
ask me, I don't give a damn.
Right.
And they didn't like that too much.
No, I'd guess not.
But I'll tell you, thank God for you. I mean, honestly, it's just...
That was Country Joe's song, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just so incredibly frustrating. What you just read really moved me because I do feel like that a lot. I don't bring it up. I'm in retail, and I sell in retail. And unless somebody mentions something about the whole thing, I might comment on it. But it's not good business if you get a...
Oh, no. I understand exactly what you say. I'm going to be attending a conference in New York. Talkers Magazine is putting together a new media seminar. And it'll be the middle of the month, middle of May. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to be the only – Peter Werby is not going. And maybe Nancy Skinner will be there, but there will be literally – scores of, if not hundreds, of talk show hosts. There will be panel discussions. I'm going to be on a couple of panels. I'm not sure which yet. But I will be one of maybe two or three liberals at that conference. And the thought of that is just starting to make me queasy. Because so many of the people that are going to be there are going to be Clear Channel or Viacom or CBS or ABC, who the talk show hosts and producers and engineers who have totally flipped to the dark side in order to maintain their employment. It's just going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's very scary, but I'll tell you, thank God for you again, the voice of reason.
Well, I
and it's gonna somebody someday some way, people are gonna wake up out of this fog, take a real look at what's going on, and say, when did Adolf come back?
Yeah, I hear you. Well said, Chris. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Take care now.
All right, you too.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the word you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, I noticed a couple of you had the same thought that flipped through my mind today watching George W. Bush land on an aircraft carrier. Interesting how he avoided landing on aircraft carriers during the war in Southeast Asia. In fact, even though he was trained to do probably just that. He took his bony ass and went AWOL and then became a deserter. But it all came back today in a wave of glory. There he was, George W. Bush in the co-pilot seat, landing on the USS Abraham Lincoln. Chuck is calling from Mississippi. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I was on the way to work this morning, had no idea the fun we were in for today.
Oh, man.
Turned on the local Nazi talk show and heard everybody calling in, all the locals here in Mississippi. I'm CW, by the way.
Oh, hey, how you doing, pal?
All right.
Frequent contributor to the program, has lots of interesting discussions in a group that I found myself in. Somebody included my email, and I'm right in there.
That's
good,
right.
Good to hear from you, CW.
Yeah, anyway, they're up there, you know, well, they're all proud of him, you know, and it's all stuff like, well, you know, he's just out there, I think, kind of showing the boys that there's nothing that he wouldn't ask them to do that he wouldn't do himself.
Oh, my God. Somebody said that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
my. The local, I mean, you wouldn't believe these, you wouldn't believe these people. You know how they are. And I was thinking about, you know, it's a laugh or cry situation. And I was thinking about, you know, obvious things like, you know, 18-year-old kids jumping out into freezing cold water on the morning of June 6, 1944 and getting their heads blown off or drowning.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about kids who, like, unlike Mr. Cheney, planned to be in Vietnam. You know, their moms raised them up back in the 60s and said, well, what's your boy Bubba going to be doing? Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to Vietnam to get cut in half,
yeah,
you know, or get burned up napalm or whatever. You know, and then there's the other side. Well, one other thing, you know, the Hitler thing. I know people are talking about the Hitler thing, and I don't know if anybody's seen this or not, but maybe somebody could tell me if they've seen it, or I'm sure we're going to see it soon. Remember the little jig that Hitler used to do on some of the documentaries?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the little dance?
Yeah, I'm waiting for something like that.
Yeah, when he got word that that Paris had fallen.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that I always see on the History Channel where he does that little
little
hip swivel
little
thing.
Step.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm waiting for that because that's when we're really going to know, you know, something similar. Maybe I'm wrong, but That's not like we don't already know already.
I hear
but
you.
That's when we really know, you know, that it's really time to to pack bags and get out while the getting's good or whatever.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then on the other side, there's the.
Hey, will you hold on?
Sure.
All right, Chuck. Let me put you on. We got another break here. Damn. We'll come back and finish up right after this break. Stay with us, y'all. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. 8 Palestinians, including a 2-year-old boy, have been killed after Israeli troops stormed a militant stronghold in the Gaza Strip. The attack took place just hours after the Middle East peace roadmap was released to Palestinian and Israeli prime ministers. Middle East correspondent Roxana Saberi reports.
Israeli troops raiding the Hamas stronghold have exchanged fire with dozens of armed Palestinians. The target of the raid is the home of a top Hamas member, Yusuf Abu Hain. Palestinian officials say 2 of the Palestinians killed were boys aged 2 and 13. 7 Israeli soldiers were also injured in the raid. The fighting comes a day after Hamas and another Palestinian group claimed responsibility for a suicide bombing in a Tel Aviv pub. The blast killed 3 bystanders and wounded 55 others. But it is not immediately clear if the Israeli incursion is a result of the attack. The raid also comes just hours after international mediators presented Israelis and Palestinians with a roadmap to peace. Roxana Saberi reporting.
President Bush has landed safely on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln. The commander-in-chief was in the co-pilot seat of a Navy S-3B Viking plane as it landed aboard the aircraft carrier steaming off the coast of San Diego. The touchdown went smoothly with the plane hooking as planned onto a steel cable to bring it to a halt on the flight deck. Dressed in a Navy flight suit and beaming, the president emerged from the plane to salutes and the ringing of Navy bells. He then greeted and joked with a crowd of Navy officers and crew. Later this evening, the president will address the nation from the carrier and declare the end of the major combat phase of the war in Iraq. The televised national address is set for 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
A web developer and his artist friends are hoping to do for Iraqi-looted artifacts what the U.S. military has done with its most wanted members of the Iraqi regime. Jim Baldwin is getting ready to sell looted Iraqi artifacts playing cards in the hopes the cards will sell well and lead to some stolen art being found.
I was just astounded that such treasures could be in such danger and just be gone like that.
Baldwin and his group are taking pre-orders for the cards, which he says should be ready in a few weeks. The group has set up a website for the cards at www.wantedartifacts.com. The National Museum of Iraq was ransacked in Baghdad after Saddam Hussein's regime fell. The U.S. is working with other authorities around the world to find the looted treasures and return them.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Northwest Airlines' powerful pilots union says it's willing to talk to the company about cost reductions, but it wants something in return. Northwest is asking the union to absorb roughly half of the total $870 million it's looking to cut. Airline spokesman Kurt Cruz says there's no hurry.
Northwest's cash position is sufficient right now to deal with its current operations. We do believe that unless the economy improves, that Northwest will need some help with reduced costs in the future.
Northwest is also seeking concessions from its three other major unions. Officials at the company say they're looking forward to working with the unions to come to an agreement. The major markets turned in a mixed performance today. Gains in technology offsetting weaknesses in blue chips. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 25 points to 84.54. The NASDAQ was up 8 to 14.72, and the S&P 500 lost a point to 9.16. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Right before the break, we're talking with CW, who has called in from Waveland, Mississippi. Chuck, thanks for holding on.
Yeah. I was just going to finish up with, on the lighter side, I guess, I don't know if you ever were a fan or familiar with the Beverly Hillbillies?
Oh, yeah. In my 20s, I guess, when they were so popular? Sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love the situation. Sometimes he reminds me of Jethro Bodine in the sense that, every other week, Like one week, Jethro was going to be a double knot seven spy.
Right.
Or else he was going to. I remember one time he wanted to join the Army, so Uncle Jed went down and bought him a tank, and he was dressed up to the hilt like General Patton.
I think I remember that episode. Oh, my God.
Cruising around Beverly Hills in a tank.
Yeah.
You know, just because he could.
Yeah, because he could. That's right.
And that's how sad this is getting, just because he can.
Yeah, so much of what Bush does now is specifically for that reason. I mean, when you have the judicial branch of government locked down, when you have the legislative branch locked down, and your thugs run the executive branch, and you own the media, and you sit at the top of the most powerful, deadly military in the history of the human race, by God, you can do anything you want.
That's about it. Yeah.
Anything.
Or else you head down to the bank and get all your money in a wheelbarrow, your $25 million like Granny, and just head for the hills.
Yeah.
But one final thing, and I'll get on. I was just going to ask you if you saw the article. I can't remember who wrote it on Common Dreams this morning. There was somebody. I can't remember his name. Anyway, they were writing about it was a what-if scenario reversing it, whereas if Gore would have won.
Oh, yeah. I posted that at my website last night.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I just happened to see it this morning, and
yeah.
that was kind of chilling, you know, because that's the way it would be, too. He'd have about a 13% approval rating. And,
right.
You know.
Right.
Anyway, I'm going
to
end
on. Yeah, somebody sent that to me, and I posted it at my website last night. It was written from that, it was Ted Rall, who's
one of
my favorite writers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the title of it was President Gore, A Look Back. In mm-hmm. other words, if he had been elected and put us through the sheer unbearable hell that Manor Monkey is putting us through.
Exactly.
How media would treat him, how the Congress would have treated him, so on and so forth. It was a real eye-opener. Ted's a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, CW, good to hear from you, sir.
We are all out here, Mike. You know that.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Keep up the good fight.
But take it.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's so old, it's got a beard on it. Take it easy, but take it. Patrick is calling from Albuquerque. Patrick, welcome to the program. Is this your first time calling?
Yes. I'm sorry, Mike. Yeah, I just found your site on the web.
Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, thank you. It's really nice to know that there's a voice out there that kind of speaks for what I guess to be more of a majority than what the mainstream media would have you believe.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to bring up is, you know, like, I'm sure you probably remember the Vietnam War.
Yes.
Heard about it in all the papers, right?
Oh, yeah, I remember reading something about it. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I was just thinking back then, there was finally when there was enough people that were saying no more, you know, enough, pull our guys out of there, it was done. And
it seems like
now we're being totally ignored.
Well, there's another reason, of course, and that was casting no aspersions on our military. In a street fight, the U.S. military, even back in '68, would win hands down. But one thing I think we Americans do not give enough credit to where it concerns what happened in Southeast Asia. And some military historians, field commanders have written about this, the dedication of the Vietnamese to get the invader out. You know, the Vietnamese had tossed out the Chinese a couple of times in their history. They tossed out the French, and by God, they were going to toss out the Americans. Now, we could have glassed the country. We could have dropped a couple of nuclear bombs, and it would have been all over. But that's not what we did. And the Vietnamese, North and South, using that false dividing line, tossed us out on our ass because they were determined to keep their country intact. So yes, there was an awful lot of protest back here, and the political will to continue the fight ended here at home. But I will guarantee you, and this is I was not there, so it's not based on my experience. But military historians and people who are actually in the field have said now in memoirs that the dedication and the ferocity of the Vietnamese fighters was such that they were not going to let their country be taken over by the round-eyed invaders.
Well, unfortunately, we'd already, you know, basically beaten the crap out of the Iraqis back in the, you know, 1990.
Oh yeah, well this
was a joke.
Yeah, this was not a war. That's why I refuse.
It wasn't a war.
No, I call it the attack on Iraq. But this was no more of a war than a real hardcore a street fight where Americans get killed and the enemy, whoever is involved in the street fight, gets killed. You know, I grieve like a son of a bitch for the 130-some Americans who died in this thing. It just kills me to think that we have lost 130-some U.S. Service members, of the 99.9% men, but a couple of women who died for what? For the
exactly.
For the ego of this punk who sits in the White House. It kills me to think about these young Americans. It also kills me, not just the dead ones, but the ones who have been doing the killing on our side. How in the hell are they going to justify this in their young lives?
They bought into the propaganda.
At some point, they're going to buy out. Look, I have Vietnam vets who call this program. I have Gulf War I vets who call this program. And to the last man, I'm not saying everybody feels this way, but to the last man, the ones who call this program, they will say, Malloy, we were put in a trick bag so bad, and now I've got to deal with the horror of Gulf War I or Somalia or Vietnam or Cambodia or Central America or wherever these people were abused and forced to go kill and avoid being killed by whatever administration sent them over there. And I'm telling you, we've got another whole generation now of young 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds, just like Timothy McVeigh, who was a Gulf War I vet,
right,
who became convinced, if you believe what Gore Vidal wrote about him, became convinced that this was a corrupt, filthy administration. And he's referring to Bush 1. And now the way he expressed his contempt...
You know the difference?
Bush two is worse.
Now, and, yeah, okay, good point.
Yeah, and the way McVeigh, if you believe Vidal, and I'm certainly not going to apologize, make any kind of apologia for Timothy McVeigh, who slaughtered 168 American citizens just to work out his weird mind trip. But if you believe Gore Vidal, that was the instigating event that forced Timothy McVeigh over the hill. Now, over the edge. I don't know if I believe that or not. I'm just saying that's what's been written about this guy. And he was a Gulf War One, a Gulf War One vet.
Right.
And we've got a whole group of them coming back now who have been doing nothing but killing the effing towel heads, killing the effing sand niggers. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I hear you.
Okay. So
you know, and if I didn't know better, I would say that the Bush regime had read up on Nazi Germany.
Well, I mean,
like they're following this playbook.
Are you familiar with the quote of
Hermann Göring at the Nuremberg trial?
Oh yeah, yeah. About how you motivate a country into war. You just
It goes something like this: of course, the people don't want war,
right,
but after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy. And it's always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy, a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament, or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked,
right,
and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to greater danger. Sound familiar?
Oh, sure. I don't believe that's George Bush's policy because he's a dumbass. I don't think he has ever read anything. But that is the policy of the people driving the Bush administration. You're absolutely right.
I'm getting kind of disheartened. I mean, there was a lot of people all over the country, all over the world that went out and protested this, and nothing became of it, basically.
I know.
It's really disheartening, and I don't know how to continue.
Well,
I mean, how do you fight that kind of thing? The mainstream media has been bought by corporate interests, which of course, you know, the four horsemen of the apocalypse have, you know, pretty much owned, you know, the corporations,
mm-hmm,
or part of it.
Well, a lot of people deal with the same issues you're talking about. That's why I read Robert Jensen's piece. I'm going to post that piece at my website when the program's over. You might want to go there later on tonight, tomorrow, download it, print it off, and keep it with you, because he addresses that very same sense of alienation and frustration and rage that a lot of us are feeling. But the Bush crime family will not respond to the American public.
It's like they're totally ignoring it.
Exactly.
And when, what do you do? I mean, and now, you know, we've got this whole Patriot Act 1 and 2 thing. I mean, you know, before too long, I don't think we're going to, I don't think your show will be around very long.
Probably.
Sorry to say.
Well, no, you're probably right. But, you know, I've got friends in the rural South who have told me, listen, there's an old saying down here, Malloy, in order to get a mule's attention, the first thing you have to do is hit him upside the head with a 2x4. The Bush administration may need to be hit upside the head with a 2x4 or the equivalent thereof. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. I just know that either Americans who still have a brain left are going to get our government, our country back, or we're not. It's that simple. There's no halfway ground here.
I think there's a I think there's more of a majority. Like I said, I think there's more of a majority than what the mainstream, you know, media is letting on.
That may be.
I think because everybody, almost everybody I talked to, with very few exceptions, was against the war, was against the Bush regime, so on and so forth.
Well, that may be.
I'm living in the Southwest, okay?
But like so many people have said, if that majority continues to just amble through life with this blank stare on their face saying, oh, man, I don't want to think about it, I've got other things to think about, then that majority doesn't amount to a hill of snot.
True.
That majority, absolutely, if it does exist, has to be activated, it has to be energized, it has to be waked up first. And that's where the problem is. That's what we're faced with, Patrick. Hey, listen, yeah. I'm glad you called. I hope you this is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is. I just found your station, and I was actually listening to it on the Internet, and I thought I was listening to you live, but it wasn't live.
Well, you can listen on KTRC. They carry the last 2 hours of the program from, I guess it would be 8 to 10 your time. Is that right, Kathy? Yeah, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. your time. You can catch the first hour on the Internet and then switch to the radio.
Okay, and that's KGRC?
KTRC.
Oh, KTRC.
In Santa Fe.
In Santa Fe, okay.
You should be able to pick it up in Albuquerque. If you can't, there's always the Internet.
All right, keep on the air, man.
I hear you. Thanks, Patrick.
Have a good night.
All right, sir, you too. Oh, my goodness, I'm looking at the screen here, and our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma Bureau Chief, Nelson, has shaken himself awake and has deigned to call in. You got to hear Nelson, Oklahoma, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma Bureau Chief, coming back right after these, how do they say it? Right after these commercial announcements.
Families' pockets to be filled.
How many oil families get killed?
Not a damn one, so what's the deal?
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program. with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HD TV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network. For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
All right, Nelson, you have to hold on just a second. Todd in Santa Fe, our favorite airline pilot, just sent me this article from the Greenville News. The Dixie Chicks began their huge tour. And they started over here in Greenville, South Carolina. I had a story I was going to share with you, but Todd's email here has totally preempted the story I was going to have. There were counter protests planned for the Dixie Chicks, one of my favorite groups. Dear God, Marshall Tucker Band, planned to be in a counter concert tonight, sponsored by a Clear Channel radio station. I had no idea. I thought Marshall Tucker Band. Of course, most of those boys are in their 60s now. Well, maybe not that old, but to find out that the Marshall Tucker Band was going to participate in an anti-Dixie Chicks concert 30 miles up the road was a real heartbreaker when I read that today. But anyway, here it is. Greenville police and the equivalent in South Carolina of the FBI had 35 officers ready. Wands scanned backstage staff an average of 57 times. Security was, in other words, intractable. When it came down to it, opening night for the Dixie Chicks' Top of the World Tour was simply a country concert on a warm spring South Carolina evening by three women from Texas. The Dixie Chicks went on stage at about 9 p.m. tonight to thunderous applause in the 16,000-seat Bilo Center. If there were any boos, they didn't punch through the war. Marty McGuire, who plays the fiddle, wore fatigues with three green stripes on the legs, an aqua tank top, and spit-shine black combat boots. Natalie Maines, whose remark that she was embarrassed President Bush was from Texas, spurred the protests and resulting threats, her comment did, wore a black T-shirt with the words, "Dare to be free," written in silver glitter. With an American flag hanging over the edge of the upper wall near Section 115, Maine said, "Hello, Greenville!" Cheering. She explained the group stood for freedom of speech and she wanted to make sure the nation heard from Greenville. Natalie Maine said, "Anybody who wants to boo has 15 seconds." Crazed cheers rumbled through the hall. During the opening song, "Goodbye Earl," the house lights went up and down several times, and each time the light shone, the crowd was on its feet, cheering wildly. The same during the song, "Some Days You Have to Dance," when the Chicks sang the line, "How do you feel about me?" The audience screamed with pleasure. The first protester showed up outside the Bilo Center about 3:30 p.m. this afternoon, but by the time the doors opened at 6:30, no more than 40 protesters had arrived. The line for fans was so long, it snaked across the concourse, past the pedestrian bridge, over the street, and back. About 20 chicks protesters and 20 protesters protesting the protesters held signs and waved flags. Yada, 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 yada. All right. Redemption. Our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma bureau chief. Did you know this, Nelson, about the Dixie Chicks tonight?
Mike, this fits in absolutely perfectly with what I have for you.
Yeah?
And before we go into this, so glad to hear you on the air in the evenings. This is your time of day.
Yeah, it is. I'd much prefer to work at night. I really
do. I'm serious. A much better show. You know, you're at your peak going in here. Now, a couple of pieces of business. Previous call about, what do we do? What do we do? And,
right,
you know,
right.
You started with Vietnam, so on and so forth. You answered your own question. The Vietnamese didn't have the Air Force. They didn't have the Navy. They didn't have all the stuff that we had, but they didn't give up.
That's right. That's right.
They didn't win every battle, but they didn't quit because they were fighting for their country.
Can I get you to hold that?
Sure, go ahead.
Right there. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. We're talking with our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma bureau chief, Nelson. Yeah, we have a bureau there. Stay with us. Is this the Chicks again? We'll be right back.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
More disturbing evidence that rescue workers who spent time working in the rubble of the World Trade Center may face long-term serious health problems. A doctor who's performed full-body scans using sophisticated medical imaging equipment on some 250 New York City firefighters says nearly a third of them show signs of significant and permanent lung damage, which increases their risk of lung cancer. New York's Firefighters Union is now urging all firefighters to get the scans, but they are expensive and their health insurance doesn't cover the exam.
Twin marches of farm workers from across New York converged in Albany yesterday to demand changes to the state's labor laws. Richard Witt is director of Rural Migrant Ministries. He and others marched 330 miles to the state capitol to protest conditions faced by New York's mostly immigrant farm workers.
Farm workers are denied a day of rest, overtime pay, the right to bargain collectively, disability insurance, and a whole slew of other rights.
Witt says farm workers are backing a bill before the New York legislature that would provide a simple change to the state's labor law.
This omnibus bill would go through all of the labor law, and any time it excluded farm workers, it would remove that exclusion.
While some Republicans are backing the bill, Witt says the majority of legislators oppose such changes to New York's labor laws, though he hopes yesterday's rally helped to change that.
Leaders of major trade unions in Pakistan say they've uncovered a government plan to lay off 70,000 public sector workers in order to secure favorable loan terms from the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. The mass layoffs are expected to hit Pakistan's state-run rail system, power plants, and oil and gas companies. The Pakistani government won't comment on the allegations.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues? Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
Dixie Chicks tonight launched their Top of the World tour to an absolutely, totally supportive crowd over here in Greenville, South Carolina. Back to Nelson, our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma bureau chief. Thanks for holding on, Nelson.
Now we've got the perfect segue. You got the Dixie Chicks. They're expecting big protests, and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience supports them. I stumbled across the Drudge Report tonight. He's got a big article up there. Arbitron just released their January through March book, and he's comparing O'Reilly against Limbaugh on their radio numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, remember, this is January through March, countdown
right.
to war.
Right.
You wouldn't want to miss that, right?
No, God, no.
Okay. This is all listeners 12 years or older.
Right. 12 okay. plus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole thing. In Chicago, Limbaugh has a 6.6 share,
mm-hmm.
101,000 listeners on an average quarter hour.
Right.
How's that for a number?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and with an effective audience of nearly 2.5 million people, that doesn't constitute a whole great big chunk, does it?
O'Reilly came in with a 0.3 share. of 4,100 listeners per quarter hour.
Oh, my God.
This is why I'm calling you, Mike.
That's even, I would say that's even worse, Nelson.
I mean, this is okay, 4,100 listeners, this is like, you know, the protesters against the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, my God, that's funny. I wonder who carries his program? Is that a premier radio network show, which is owned by Clear Channel? Or I don't know who carries, who syndicates O'Reilly or what station he's on. I know Limbaugh's on WLS in Chicago.
Yeah.
I just wonder who carries O'Reilly. That's funny. So Rush comes in with a 6-point-something share, and O'Reilly gets a 0.3.
Exactly. Now let's go further south to Houston.
Yeah.
The heart of Bush country, right?
Right.
Limbaugh comes in with a 6.8 share.
Yeah.
57,000 listeners. And O'Reilly's at a 1.3.
Uh-huh.
10,700.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Wizard of Oz, right?
Right.
Who's the man behind the curtain? It's Rush Limbaugh. And Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at this, Mike. Back when you were in Chicago, that was then, this is now. Okay, yeah. But
right.
I think for you were pulling what? 50,000 easy?
Yeah, I have relied on those Arbitron ratings from Chicago many times in job searches. There were times when 12 plus is the easy demographic. The target demographic is adults 25 to 54.
Right.
I would be curious to see what those numbers are. 12 plus includes everybody, every person who has access to a radio who has it on. In those categories, sometimes I would pull an 8, 9, 10 share. In the target audience, 25, 54, I would usually pull the highest number on WLS. Now, there's a caveat there. During the day, Arbitron considers there are more possible people to listen to the radio than there were at night.
Yes.
So even though I had a higher share, my effective audience, if you believe Arbitron, was a smaller universe. You understand what I'm saying there? I did not have the same potential audience at night as somebody who's on the air during the day.
Because you were up against must-see TV.
Well, that's the reason. At night, Arbitron lowers their expectations in potential market in I don't care if it's L.A., Chicago, New York, or Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Arbitron lowers what they consider to be the potential universe because people watch television, people are doing whatever they do at night. Now, what has changed all of this, and this is where Arbitron is being left in the dust, is the Internet. So many people listen to various programming on the Internet, and the Internet yet has not been cracked as a way of determining who's listening to what on the Internet. Arbitron hasn't figured it out yet, and I don't think they ever will, because not unless Michael Pollan's FCC regulations start making Internet gatekeepers, Clear Channel, Viacom, ABC, and that's a distinct possibility. But for the time being, Arbitron has no idea how many people listen to Internet programming. Ben, who runs our WhiteRoseSociety.org, or his WhiteRoseSociety.org, where they archive my program and now Werby's program, he sent me a printout the other day. Listeners from 57 foreign countries have gone to WhiteRoseSociety.org. For Christ's sake, it's only been up since last November.
And not advertised either.
Nothing. 57 countries. I was stunned when Ben sent me that. He said, you know, a little email. You might find this interesting with an attachment. I opened the attachment, and there it is. I was just dumbfounded.
And but, Mike, I know sometimes you make fun of yourself about, you know, your little radio show with three listeners and whatnot. Don't you believe it? The other one too is I was up on eBay a couple nights ago looking at Sirius compatible radios.
Right.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, we're thinking about. Kathy and I were talking the other night about getting one for the car because I can't stand AM radio. I just can't do it, and we make a lot of car trips, and it would be great to have Sirius. We're gonna. I think you can get one at Radio Shack for $200. Or less now, and then I think it's $9.95 a month to subscribe to their service, and it just might be worth it. You know, what the hell? We should get it free, but you know, because we're on their network. But I don't think no freebies anymore. Used to be in radio, you could get freebies, Nelson. No more.
Up on eBay, $100.50 will get you a nice Kenwood car radio.
Oh really?
And it's $12.95 a month, but still.
Oh, is it $12.95?
No, I would pay $13.50 to listen to Mike Malloy. No hands, you know, no question about it.
Nelson, it's good to hear from you. You're very seldom call in, but it's always good to hear from our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
We try to make it worthwhile.
Bureau. So
keep the faith and don't let them get you down.
Thank you, sir.
You have a good day.
All right, take care. Nelson is a frequent contributor. There was a time when I was not on the air, when I went back to work for CNN, where Nelson was about the only contributor to the comments board at my website, which I know sucks. The whole site sucks. We're just about ready to put up a new site, but Nelson contributes like a lot of people. There are a lot of regular contributors, but I have to say that Nelson has been a mainstay, our Broken Arrow bureau chief, on the comments board at MikeMalloy.net, MikeMalloy.com. So check it out. If you've never gone to the comments board, check it out. We have some new people there. Shelby Lepre from RadioPower.org has become a steady contributor. Claudia, Anna, Rob, Tom. It just goes on and on. And the when we get the new site up, the message board is going to be like the one at Democratic Underground or Bart Kopp, some of those sites. It'll be a lot more comprehensive, easier to navigate, threaded discussions. And the way it is now, you just go there, you post your comment, and that's about all you can do. But that site was set up 7 years ago. So it is just, it's a Model T. Anyway, I digress. Lee is calling another over-the-road truck driver. Boy, our fleet is up to about 12 of you guys now. You're driving near Iowa City, Iowa, Lee?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've stopped along the side of the road so I don't lose you. my cell phone here.
This your first time calling?
Yes, it is.
Well,
I've ever called any show.
Well, welcome aboard.
And my wife and I, we team it out here on the road, and we're listening to you every night.
Well, thank you.
And but I wanted to tell you that you've got a hell of a combination here right now. Is a pissed off, excuse my language, bleeding heart, liberal truck driver, and that was in the military myself, that this guy has no right to be in a flight suit on the deck of that, or even the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
And it just, oh, it just, when I heard that he was doing this, I just took a chill pill. I had to. I was hoping you did earlier, too.
Well, I've working late at night, I can't do the chill pills anymore. I used to do the chill pill after I got off work, but now I can't do it. But, I would think that people who have been in combat situations or in the military in a time of conflict would just be absolutely furious.
Oh, yeah. I was in during Vietnam. I didn't go over there, but a couple of my best buddies went over there, and they came back in a body bag, and that just,
jeez.
And this just tears me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. A guy like this is even in that position.
Well, we had a caller tonight. I'm sorry, I forget who it was, but it was so funny. I think it was a caller. It might have been an email. I'm just having another one of those senior moments. But the comment was when the plane landed on the deck and Bush stepped out and saluted, the XO should have saluted back, or the captain, whoever the hell was there waiting for him, should have saluted back and then clapped the handcuffs on him.
Yeah.
And said, look, buddy, you have unfulfilled obligation to the United States military. Where's your ass been for 30 years?
Yeah. Not to change the subject real quick. The other night, Jack Kemp was on CNN.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about another caller called in.
Yeah.
But the other caller didn't finish what Jack Kemp did.
Okay.
He finally told him to shut up, basically, because he's asked him, he says, why is it whenever somebody has a difference of opinion, you call us unpatriotic, un-American, and so forth, and I'm getting sick of it. He said, if you guys would just sit down and talk like actual human beings,
mm-hmm.
we might get something accomplished instead of this hollering at us, telling us we're unpatriotic all the time.
Jack
Kemp told them that.
Kemp said that?
Yes.
I'll be damned.
He did.
I'll be damned.
And then they just changed the subject real quick.
Oh, sure. Sure, sure.
But that's normal for them. You know, it's just like anybody you have on and calls in, that's all they can do is holler.
I know.
I'm just wanting to call, and I've never done this before, and I probably will never do it again. But,
oh, no. Hey. Now you're part of the crew.
I'm hooked now. Huh?
You got to call back in. We rely on our over-the-road drivers. Like I said, we got about 8 or 10 of you guys now. And we love hearing from you, calling in from all over the world, or all over the country. Obviously, you're listening on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Absolutely.
Well, I just appreciate you taking time to make the call, Lee, and I hope you call again.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, sir. Drive safely.
You bet.
You know, I had a question, a thought, I should say. Dixie Chicks. What's his name? Robbins, the movie actor. Damn, Susan Sarandon. Who else? Bill Maher. All these people who have made even mild comments against the Bush crime family, and immediately this caterwauling, this screeching and yelling and accusations from right-wing talk radio, Tim Robbins, the name I was trying to get. What about, why don't the liberals do this against Kelsey Grammer, for example? Frazier? Kelsey Grammer is an extreme right-winger. How about Clint Eastwood? How about Mel Gibson? How about Bruce Willis? I mean, the list goes on and on of Schwarzenegger. Yeah, he's, he wants to be governor of California. But You don't see liberals or progressives or Democrats organizing these cheesy-ass little protests against Kelsey Grammer or Clint Eastwood or Mel Gibson or Bruce Willis. When I watch Frasier or when I go to a movie and see a Mel Gibson movie or Clint Eastwood – or Bruce Willis. You know, I'm not sitting there thinking, whether you right-wing bastard, I'm sitting there enjoying the film. Just, you know, it's fantasy time, right? I don't give a tinker's damn what their political point of view is. And deep breath. Whew. And you never hear on this program anything like, well, let's all get together and boycott Mel Gibson films. You know, that anti-Semitic son of a bitch, you know, he's just a warmonger. And that Kelsey Grammer, that right-wing freak, let's boycott all the advertisers on Frasier. You don't hear that on this program because, yo, it's fantasy. These are actors. And they have a right to say any damn thing they want to say. But the right-wingers, oh, my God, Tim Robbins, Susan Sarandon, Dixie Chicks, anybody stand up, raise a whisper of protest. Drew Carey is another right-winger. But who cares? You don't watch Drew Carey's show. You watch it for his political point of view. You watch it, if you do watch it, for the ridiculousness of it, the slapstick, the Three Stooges kind of thing. And besides, Frasier has jumped the shark long ago. That series has just gone in the tank. But you get the point. What is it about these right-wingers? Organized protests against the Dixie Chicks. For God's sake, what is that? It's sickness. And you sneaky, lurking right-wingers who listen to this program, shame on you. Shame on you. How do you live with yourselves? My God, how do you do it? All right. Kathy's looking at me and saying, take a break. All right, Russ is calling from Santa Cruz, California. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Am I too loud?
No, you're just fine, sir.
Okay, good. It's very nice to hear you. And I used to listen to you at work all the time.
Yeah?
And now I finally got DSL so I could listen to you at home with your new schedule.
Keep you out of trouble with your boss doing it this way, too.
Oh, gosh. Luckily, I work in a pretty liberal atmosphere.
Oh, okay.
So, but people did hear me through the hall sometimes. I wanted to, I think the nighttime thing for you is much better.
Yeah, I think so.
So, the kids go to bed.
I can say son of a bitch without offending anybody.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
But I caught a little bit of Bush's speech on the computer.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, or I gagged.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's funny. He always surrounds himself with weapons of mass destruction.
Isn't that the truth? Or with military people whose throats he's cutting with his policies. Whether no matter what the policies are, he holds the knife to their throats, drags it across, the blood starts to flow, and these people cheer him. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back because I'm got to take a break, and I'm just rattling on, and it's your dime. So hold on a second. Russ will come right back to you.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to ieamericaradio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, back to Russ in Santa Cruz, California. Thanks for holding on, Russ.
Hey, Mike. Looks like I only have a couple minutes. There's so many issues and so many things to talk about.
Really? Well, you always have tomorrow.
I have tomorrow. I could call in a little earlier, but I'm glad you're getting your website done up. I offered to do your website a couple times.
We had a lot of very generous offers from several people. Barry in Montgomery.
Uh-huh.
Where, Kathy? Dan in Montgomery. I know you offered. There were several people that offered. Unbeknownst to me, a situation had been worked out. Now we've had a lot of input into the new design, but the guy who's doing it now, Mark Marshall, with Maximum Interactive, based in New York City, has just done an exemplary job. I can't wait until this thing goes online, because it's Mark is just a state-of-the-art computer genius. And
I hope you put a link to outragedcomics.com.
It's on there.
That's my site.
It's a, well, we already have that, I think. I think it's on my stupid website.
I hope you put
right
it on the new site.
Yeah. We will link to a tiny civilization located in a star system about 70 light years from here, a little cluster of planets around the star. It's so good, we're linked to them. How's that?
Ooh. But I think we got to hold our breath, or not hold our breath, but we have like 6 months. We got to put up with Bush, and we'll see what happens at this election. And if it's rigged, and we see that we've been
You're talking about a year and 6 months.
Oh, a year and 6 months.
Right, right.
Then if it's rigged, I'm talking. There's going to have to be some mass resistance or something.
Well, then we'll probably have to go to the Jeffersonian dictate that said the tree, I'm paraphrasing, the tree of liberty has to be occasionally watered or nurtured or whatever with the blood of tyrants and the blood of patriots. Now, that was Thomas Jefferson, so let us see the Bush crime family refer to him as being unpatriotic, right?
But other than that... I guess
it's time to go.
We have another caller.
It's time to go home. Thanks a lot, Russ. I appreciate you checking in, pal.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. I'll get the Jefferson quote down right. Was it Jefferson? I think it was Jefferson. The program tonight was engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones. It was produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Thank you very much for joining us. See you tomorrow night, I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and